6:17 a.m. We welcome to our Newsmaker line now All-Star panelists, good friends, senior Constitution Fellow at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, Carol Swain. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, Michael.
Well, where are you traveling to today? You're all over the country. Are you in Nashville or are you in Austin? Are you in Washington? Where are you?
I'm headed to the D.C. area for the Council on National Policy meeting.
Oh, that's a pretty big deal. And well, be safe in your travels. So we wanted to talk about the mass shooting in Buffalo, New York, at a Tops grocery store. The suspect is an 18-year-old from a little town called Conklin, New York. It's in Broome County, which is where Binghamton, New York is. Peyton Gendron, age 18, allegedly. Drove 3.5 hours up to Buffalo, a Tops grocery store, and shot and killed, I guess it's now 13 people, in a mass shooting just the past couple days. The majority, I think like 11 of those who were killed were black. And then Joe Biden goes up and gives a divisive speech yesterday. Your thoughts on this incident, Carol Swain?
Well, first of all, we all know that the incident was horrific. But back in the late 1990s, early 2000s, there were several incidents like this that were happening across the country. And that is what inspired me to write my book, The New White Nationalism in America, It's Challenged Integration. And I looked at conditions that were converging at that point in time that I felt were creating a devil's brew for racial unrest. And when you look at what's taking place across the country, I mean, we focus on white supremacy and the people that are pushing DEI and CRT will say that we need more of that. And I would argue that our leaders are creating these situations. And they're creating the situations because they're not addressing the grievances, the policy concerns that people have. And some of the concerns that people have is the issues that were propelling things back then was they were concerned about the liberal immigration policies, globalization, loss of jobs, black crime, racial preferences, and several other issues. And at that time, the internet, you know, was getting big. And I pointed out how the internet was making it possible for like-minded people to find each other. And in the particular case of this young man, what we find with hate crimes is that these people don't belong to groups. Like, you look at the KKK and, you know, neo-Nazis, KKK, probably not more than 2,000 people in the whole country. These people are loners. They inspire it. The way to handle that is to address some of the grievances so that the people that push extremism are not able to reach our young people. And I argued in my book we needed to move away from identity politics and multiculturalism.
Well, in this particular instance, this Peyton Gendron, only 18 years old, looks like he became increasingly isolated from his friends. And here's a little description of him. This is now an NBC News report, so take it with a grain of salt. I'll read a couple paragraphs and then get your reaction. Matthew Casado, 19, said he and the suspect have known each other since childhood, and he described their relationship as best friends for a large part of their lives. They lost touch as they neared graduation from Susquehanna Valley High School, Casado said in a text message, but Gendron reached out after graduation, quote, about being lonely and about wanting to be around people. And then he got involved in, and he put out like a, what's described as a 180-page, this suspect, Peyton Gendron, a 180-page racist diatribe online. It looks like this was a very, very troubled young man who the isolation and various information on the internet kind of put him off the deep end. Your thoughts, Carol Swain?
I mean, that's exactly the conditions that we had in the 1990s. And what I saw happen when President Obama got elected, what I saw with the Democrats is that instead of trying to bring people together, they push the politics of division. And so we can focus on that young man and his hate crime, but some of the grievances that white people had back then and that that festered with people is that there's a double standard, that there are hate crimes being committed across America by racial and ethnic minorities against whites as well. Those don't get attention. And I think that some people feel these grievances and they can't handle it. And I believe that if we wanted to bring Americans together, we would de-emphasize identity politics and multiculturalism, and we would focus on the American national identity. And I believe in this racial discussion that that racial and ethnic minorities have a responsibility to engage in certain kinds of behaviors and to reject other behaviors. And it can't always be to focus on these atrocities and victimization of minorities. It's a terrible thing, but these crimes are taking place across America. They don't get the same attention if the victims are white. And so I think that the racial double standards, moving away from identity politics, moving towards the American national identity, that's how you would calm things down.
Got a big question for you, Carol, about your professional career here. Because, you know, a lot of people were big supporters of you when you ran for mayor of Nashville. I hear all the time people say, now, I wonder, can we get Carol to run for an office here in Tennessee? I hear that all the time. You've been very busy and very, you know, had an awful lot going on here this year and years since you left Vanderbilt in 2017 of your own accord. But here's the big question for you. In Tennessee, we have an unusual means of selecting attorney general. They're not selected by a popular vote. They're not appointed by the governor, but they are selected by five members of the state Supreme Court. Usually it's sort of a perfunctory. If the governor wants somebody, they kind of rubber stamp them. But in this instance, the current attorney general, Herb Slattery, has announced that he will not be seeking another 8-year term. His term ends August 31st. The state Supreme Court has said qualified people can apply to be considered for attorney general. The big question for you, Carol, you have a master's degree in law from Yale. You have a PhD from North Carolina, former professor at Vanderbilt Law School. Carol Swain, will you submit an application to be considered by the Tennessee State Supreme Court as attorney general of Tennessee?
I most certainly will not. I believe that only qualified people should apply for positions and be appointed, and I'm not qualified for that position.
When you say not qualified, you got a master's from Yale Law School, but you didn't.
I'm black, and it's a good thing to be black these days, but the master's from Yale, the PhD from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, I know my strengths, I know my weaknesses, I prefer to stay in my lane. And my lane has to do with looking at this culture and really sounding an alarm. And my message for today is that we need to move away from the identity politics and the multiculturalism. And it's our society who are creating young men and women and people who engage in heinous crime.
Well, that's a very good answer. It was kind of a fun question for you, Carol, because
I know, but I have to be serious, and that's my serious answer.
Woman.
I hope we get someone that's really good, that cares about the law and the Constitution, someone who will represent Tennessee well.
Well, we will ask. We are going to be looking at a number of candidates for that, and we're going to be holding kind of a public discussions about all of the candidates under consideration. I want a very strong attorney general who will represent the interests of folks in Tennessee against the usurpations of the federal government. Carol Swain, what a pleasure having you on here. Be safe in your travels to Washington, D.C.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye, Carol. When we come back, it'll be time for the original All-Star panelist, Crom Carmichael. This is the Tennessee Star Report. I'm Michael Patrick Leahy.